I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone on this lovely Sunday morning. I want to extend a warm welcome also to those who are joining us in their homes online and all those who are listening in on the service on the dial-up. It's lovely to have everybody with us as we worship together on this Trinity Sunday. And Trinity Sunday is a day in which we reflect on the mystery of God and the connections between Him and us. And today in our service, we're going to be thinking about somebody who was really seeking after God and who encountered Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, inviting him into this personal relationship with God. Some of our choir are away this morning, so we have recordings of our hymns, and we're going to ask you just to allow the words over the hymns in today's service to speak into your hearts as we reflect on those words today. We're also hopeful that in the next number of weeks we're going to be able to sing softly behind our masks, and we look forward to doing that after having had such a long time without being able to sing. Just a few notices for the week that is to come. On Wednesday evening, our Alpha course is continuing online at 8 o'clock. On Thursday evening, the prayer meeting will take place over Zoom at 7 o'clock. And next Sunday, our services are morning prayer at 11 o'clock and evening prayer at 7. Our opening hymn is a hymn that really reflects on the mystery of God and His glory and His majesty as we hear the words of the hymn, "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise." Service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit, we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father.
Heavenly,
Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today's service is a psalm that speaks about God's power and his glory. And we're going to stand together as we say the words of Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord, you powers of heaven. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is mighty in operation. The voice of the Lord is a glorious voice. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord splits the flash of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forests bare. In his temple, all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned above the water flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forevermore. The Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. If you'd like to be seated for our Old Testament. Our Old Testament reading is a vision that was given to the prophet Isaiah. It comes from the prophet Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the throne of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. Here ends our Old Testament reading. And in response to that reading, we're going to hear a hymn that celebrates the three parts of the Trinity. Father, we adore you. Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. John in the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Here ends our New Testament reading. Recently, our bishop conducted a series of conversations with a friend of his about life in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see one of those conversations in a little video now. And it's a conversation that talks about the joy we feel through the Holy Spirit, even when our circumstances are difficult.
Roland, I remember 30 years ago rolling down that slope with Cherith, who was somewhere between the ages of, I suppose, 3 and 10 during those years. In the midst of all the heartache of some of those years, the Holy Spirit was the source of joy. Now, by that I don't mean a frivolous happiness, but actually a deep, deep sense that God is still there, and a deep sense of the joy of the Lord being our strength. And I used to watch Cherith roll down this hill, and it always reminded me of how God gives joy, and how he's the joy giver. And I suppose over the years, we experience that in different ways, don't we? We experience that as we sit under his word, and as just the life of his word strengthens us and imparts joy in itself. We experience that often in worship as well, in those times where the glory of God comes down upon us as we worship. And we experience it, I think, particularly, and I'd love us to be a church that increasingly creates space for people to receive prayer, because it's in those moments that we encounter the presence of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is the joy giver, not a frivolous happiness, but the joy giver. So I think I'll hand over to you, and you can share some thoughts on that role.
You talk about worship, but just think of Paul and Silas. There they are in prison. They've just been beaten. Their backs would have been sore. They're sitting on probably a very hard, cold floor. And what were they doing at midnight? Worshiping, singing, full of joy. Even in the circumstances where everything seemed terrible, they chose joy. And sometimes it's actually, we have to choose joy. We have to take it for ourselves. And you're right, that's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. It brings joy. Very often we think of the Christian life very often as dull and boring. It's almost like a miserable life. And you hear these wonderful testimonies of people who say, oh no, we had a great life. We had parties and all the rest of it. And then we became Christians. And it's the opposite, because it isn't until you find Jesus Christ that you find true joy in life. True purpose, true meaning in life. And Jesus himself was full of joy, and the Holy Spirit produced joy in Jesus. It says in Luke chapter 10, verse 21, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. He was actually full of joy through the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit dwells within us, it will also produce the fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is actually joy. Galatians 5, verse 22 tells us what that fruit is. And so, we have got so much to be joyful for. Yes, life can be tough. We may be going through difficult times, but we've got somebody to depend on, and we've got a future to look forward to. God has given us so much, and just to know that in his hands, everything is safe, everything is good, everything will work out in the end, because we know from the end of the book, he is victorious. And to that knowledge that one day we're going to be with him forever in eternity, that should be the source of our joy. And so the Holy Spirit is the joy giver. He does bring joy into our lives, and we should be people who are joyful. Our churches should be places where people should be attracted to, because we are people with such joy.
I reckon that this season of COVID has robbed many of joy. I'd love to encourage you to ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to be your joy giver. And actually, I think that many of us would find it really, really helpful to join with John and Ann Coles next Saturday, whenever they're going to be just doing some teaching on the person of the Holy Spirit and providing space where, safely online, there will be the opportunity for the presence of God to fall and for God to be to you the joy giver. So seek after the joy of the Lord and let the joy of the Lord be your strength.
So together now we're going to stand to affirm our faith in the Lord who brings joy and peace into our lives as we share the words of the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Today is Trinity Sunday and our special collect prayer for this day. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us, your servants, grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith that we may evermore be defended from all adversities. For you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to hear the words of a song, a hymn of joy and celebration, Angel Voices Ever Singing.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes in our lives we become aware that we're operating from a position of strength. And let me give you an example or two. For the past week, it has been the first time that I have been allowed to go back to visit people in hospital as the restrictions have been eased somewhat. And I parked my car on, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, and as I had to arrive by a designated time and I was running slightly late, I jogged the length of the street and through the entrance to the hospital. And as I was jogging the length of the street, I couldn't help but think to myself that the person that I was going to see, who's normally very fit and active and well, would love to be able to do what I had just done instead of being confined to a hospital bed. And I suppose that the pandemic has served in some ways to remind all of us that our position of strength is never quite as strong as we like to think. But when we come from the wealthy Western world, which we do, it does mean that we have access to things like education and medical treatment that two-thirds of the world can only dream of. And it's important that we never take those things for granted. And as we sit here this morning, many of us are privileged enough to have had at least one, if not two, of our vaccination jabs. But the other side of operating from a position of power and strength is that it makes us inclined to do all that we can to hold on to what we have. And so there's almost a sense of fear that if we were to wind down the window of our car to those people desperate to sell us the big issue at the traffic lights, well, then maybe we might end up ourselves in a similar plight. And so it's easier very often just to keep the windows up and to ignore people. And sometimes, as I said, we delude ourselves about how powerful or strong that we really are. And it doesn't actually take all that much. A few bad choices, a broken relationship, a deterioration in our physical or mental health, or maybe the death of someone close to us, to remind us of just how fragile we are. But I'm really interested today in this conversation that takes place in our New Testament reading between Nicodemus, the religious leader, and Jesus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's a member of the Jewish ruling council. He's somebody who's operating from the very top of the religious power structures of his day. And yet in this reading, we become aware that something is troubling him. Even the very fact that he would approach Jesus tells us that something is missing in Nicodemus' life. And we also notice in that reading that he comes to see Jesus at nighttime. And that might be because he doesn't want other religious people to see him speaking with Jesus. Others might suggest that he came at night so that he would have more time and he would be uninterrupted in his conversation. But Jesus himself was just an itinerant preacher. He was someone whose message about a new kingdom, the kingdom of God, where fairness and equality were paramount. This message of Jesus at the time seemed to be capturing a lot of attention. But perhaps Even more significantly for Nicodemus, Jesus, operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, was able to do remarkable things. And Nicodemus, just like everybody else, noticed that Jesus' teaching had authority and power. People were being healed from sickness. And all the frames of reference that governed Nicodemus's life very strictly, like the regulations of the law, who you could teach or associate with, all these things were of secondary importance to Jesus, and people's lives were being transformed. And as Nicodemus observed all of this, it became very unsettling and troubling to him. And so he questioned Jesus. And we notice that Jesus doesn't give straightforward answers to his questions. And indeed, Nicodemus is really puzzled when Jesus tells him about the importance about being born again or born from above. And when Jesus uses this kind of language, what he's talking about is the mystery of the spiritual life, the relationship with God that is open to all people who will surrender their lives to him. Now, Nicodemus is a man who knows all sorts of things about God, and he knows all sorts of things about the laws governing our attitudes and behavior towards God. But Nicodemus doesn't actually know God himself. And it is this very distinction that Jesus places his finger upon. And as Jesus talks about the importance of surrendering and yielding our lives to God who is in heaven and surrendering to him, there is a huge amount at stake in this conversation for Nicodemus. Because the more we have, the more we have to surrender and give up. And so sometimes then it is hard, as we were talking at the beginning about operating from a position of strength, sometimes it's hard to operate from the position of strength, whether that position is real or illusory. And Isaiah in our Old Testament reading was another man who got a glimpse or a vision of God's holiness. But at the same time as he got that vision of God's holiness, he also had a profound realization of his own sinfulness in the temple. And it was a vision as a prophet or church leader that really quite overwhelmed him. In fact, Isaiah couldn't quite put his feelings into words, but he did his best in those verses that we heard from Isaiah chapter 6. But what was even more important than the words that he used was a willingness to do something about what he had just experienced. And so Isaiah made this decision as a result of what he had experienced in the temple that he really wanted to worship God with everything he had and everything that he was. And he made a decision that he, having had this vision, wanted to serve God in whatever way God wanted, and he expressed his willingness to go into whatever situation on God's behalf, in God's name, and for God's glory. And sometimes when we get a vision from heaven, it's about having the trust to leave something good in the confidence and the belief that what God is calling us to is even better. And what that really looks like, I think, is about handing over the controls of our life rather than holding on to them for grim death. And we might wonder, as we hear of these visions and and conversations about spiritual things, what does all of this say to the church? Well, I think it says that we should beware of operating from a position of strength. Because whenever a church is comfortable, it can become complacent. And maybe in truth, we have become complacent. And this pandemic has in reality stripped us right back. Nothing is the same anymore. And when people no longer come to us, it's quite a new departure to find ways of going to them where they are and seeking opportunities to connect with them and to serve them without necessarily getting anything in return. And maybe as we think about the church on a spiritual level, perhaps we have over the years neglected fundamental things in our lives, things like Bible study and prayer. Maybe we have been unwilling to change because we felt we didn't need to. And as Jesus explains the mystery of the spiritual life to Nicodemus, what he is saying to Nicodemus is that all the earthly things that we pin our hopes upon, they will ultimately all fade away. And he said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as God shares this message through Jesus with Nicodemus, it's really important that we notice it is not a message of condemnation. God sends to us in our position of strength, but it's more a reminder that he loves us and he wants so much to save us. And the longer that we continue to ignore his love, in reality, the more damaging it will be for us in the long run. And sometimes, because our lives become so full of other things, we reach the point where we've actually become completely blind to our need for him. But let us pray that that will never be our experience. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today for your desire to reach out to us and to meet us where we are. Thank you for the way that you engaged with Nicodemus and Isaiah, and you opened their eyes and their hearts to their need for you. Lord, we thank you today for all the privileges that we enjoy in your church in this place. Help us never to take these things for granted. Our freedom to worship together and study the Bible and pray. Our financial resources and buildings. And most of all, the wonderful people who want to serve you and know you more in their lives. We pray for a willingness on our own part to respond with joy and with openness, for courage to share the faith with others, and for the vision to see the needs around us and to respond in your holy name and in your strength. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray for the nations of the world. And today we pray for the worldwide vaccination program to be rolled out across the poorer nations of the world. And we pray for the resources and the vaccine to become available to help those with no resources in themselves who are so vulnerable. We also want to continue to pray at this time for important discussions between the European Union and the United Kingdom regarding trade regulations. We pray for a willingness to have dialogue and to seek for solutions to complex problems that would ultimately bring stability and peace and healthier relationships going forwards. So we pray for the power of your Spirit to unlock those deadlocks and to move the process forward. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We remember especially today all who have lost employment during the pandemic and all who are seeking new opportunities. We pray that you'd help them to overcome the challenges in doing so, especially after spending many years in one particular career that's no longer available. We want to pray today for all who are struggling with their mental health, those who feel anxious and exhausted by all the stresses and worries of life at the present time. And in a quiet moment, let us bring before God those who we particularly feel concerned for and care about, and let us bring them into God's healing presence this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. The next hymn that we are going to hear is a hymn that again recognizes that vision of God's holiness. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to everybody for joining with us in our service today, and thank you for those who have joined us at home. And as we prepare to go into a new week, we bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Just a little reminder as we make our way out this morning and we can enjoy our conversations out in the fresh air, if we can just remember just to move away from the entrance to the church so we don't get too congested at that point and make our way onto the grass or the car park. Our closing hymn for today's service, God Whose Almighty Word.